Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.
David Sterrett is the former chair of the New York Film Critics Circle and National Society of Film Critics, contributing writer at Cineast, film professor at the Maryland Institute College of Art, and, of course, Robin Hood Radio's very own critic. He joins us weekly. The films Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, F1, and Bring Her Back.
I'd like to start off today by talking about a really interesting new movie called Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight. That phrase is, or sentence, I guess, was never once spoken in the movie. It apparently is something that people are familiar with in Africa or parts of Africa. Anyway, it's a saying, it's an expression, and it fits this movie well enough. One of the interesting things about Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight is that it is directed by the actor M. Beth Davids. And she is a very good actor. I always associate her most strongly with the very fine movie Schindler's List, which is the first time she came to my attention, at least. She's been in, of course, any number of things since then. That was a long time ago. But now she has directed her first movie. And I have to say, this is a really, really well done movie. It's very well directed. It's very well acted. And it's really quite an achievement. I'm not saying it's a masterpiece. It's a very, very strong piece of work from a brand new director. So Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight takes place back in 1980 in the country of, well, it was Rhodesia, and this is exactly when it is changing over to be Zimbabwe. Of course, Rhodesia was named after Cecil Rhodes, a British colonialist who helped to conquer the place for England and Great Britain and so forth. And now, finally, the native inhabitants are taking control of their country again. And that is when this movie takes place. A very, very big deal in the movie is the election that is going to bring Robert Mugabe into power. And that is a very, very controversial thing. And there's all kinds of, argument and threats of violence and so forth going on in the background of this movie. Now, the movie is not directly about politics. It's about a family. And this family, they have a farm. It's their farm in what is now becoming Zimbabwe. And M. Beth Davids plays the woman who is the sort of the main owner of the farm. She is a very, very fierce woman who is determined to keep her farm, to keep control of her farm, no matter what happens in the country with its politics and so forth and so on. And this is proving to be challenging. Now, other major characters in the film, not as important as she is, but are a couple of black servants who work for her and are very just in their amateur way caught up in the politics of the moment. And they're kind of concerned. They work for a white woman, and now the country is changing. So what's going to happen there? That's a thread that runs through the movie. But the whole thing, all of these politics and the threats of violence and the this and the that are seen through the eyes of a little 8-year-old girl. And this little 8-year-old girl is played by a very young actress who apparently was 7 years old when the movie was being filmed. And she gives one of the best performances by a kid that I have, I think, ever seen. It is really an amazing performance. She is just superb. It never looks like acting, even though, of course, it is acting. Then again, she's 8 years old, so a lot of this happening. She didn't go to acting school. A lot of this is happening through her own instincts, I suppose. But one of the things is that M. Beth Davids and her producers deserve tremendous credit for is discovering this remarkable child actor. And M. Beth Davids deserves enormous credit for a beautiful job of directing her. The acting in this movie is so good. Davids is great, but this little 7-year-old girl is just remarkable. So that's what the movie is. Now, the politics of this movie, I think, are sort of complicated because on the one hand, you understand this family. They have had this farm in Rhodesia, which is now becoming Zimbabwe, for a really long time. It is their farm. It is their home. As the M. Beth Davis character says, She has children. She lost two of her four children. They're dead, are buried on that land. It means a lot to them. On the other hand, you can certainly understand why there is so much resentment of British colonialism, why the native black Africans are really eager and very happy to be taking their country back. And in the background of all this, yes, there is tremendous violence going on. There's not much of it in the movie. We see a bit of it on TV news reports, and it's pretty horrific. And so that's also going on. So again, complicated politics, but a really well done movie, a marvelous directorial debut by M. Beth Davids, and an astonishing performance by a 7-year-old girl. That alone makes the movie well worth seeing. It's a good picture. Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight is a movie that does not go to the dogs. Now let's talk about a movie with a bigger budget and a bigger profile and bigger advertisements and bigger everything. And it is F1, which is directed by Joseph Kosinski, who also co-wrote the screenplay. Probably his best known movie before this was Top Gun Maverick, which I think was a pretty good action picture. I liked F1 less than I liked that. And I'll tell you why right away. F1 is about Formula One racing. That's what it is. Racing cars. Okie doke. And to me, this movie is formulas, formulas, formulas. It is one formula, one cliche, one hackneyed thing, one story twist we've seen a million times before, after another, steadily throughout the entire movie. F1 is a movie which is made by formulas. It is filmmaking by the numbers. And that's why I didn't like it much. I felt the whole thing was kind of like watching a video game or watching a wind-up toy, a spectacular wind-up toy, yes. But oh my gosh, I never felt humanly involved with it at all. So Brad Pitt is in it. Yes, Brad Pitt's a good actor. Yes, Brad Pitt's a charismatic movie star. Brad Pitt's all kinds of good things. I don't think he's enough to overcome the formulae nature of this movie about Formula One racing. But he plays a character whose name is Sonny Hayes. At one point, a character makes a joke about that name. What's the weather? Is he sunny or is he hazy? Okay, ha ha. But anyway, that's his name. And he is a race car driver. And once upon a time, he was a rising young race car driver who was going to set the whole race car scene on its ear and do all kinds of wonderful things. Then he had a terrible, terrible crash way back in 1993 at the Spanish Grand Prix. And since then, he left racing. He became addicted to gambling. He married three times, and each one of the marriages totally collapsed. A very, very unhappy man with a very, very unhappy life. Well, he's come back to racing, but not as a big timer. He's sort of gone around and gone to this race here and that race there, and he's raced in different places. And at the very beginning of the movie, he's thinking about racing a little race down in Baja California. And okay, that's what he's going to do. However, an old friend of his who he has not seen for a while, played by Javier Bardem, a very fine performance on his own. He comes to Sonny and he says, come on, come on, become a member of my team, race in the Formula One race. And for various reasons, Sonny decides he's going to do this. And there he meets another member of the team, a young black man who is new to racing, but again, a really rising star here. By the way, the race is going to be in England, so there's a lot of British accents in this movie. This young racer's name is Joshua Pierce, and he and Sonny immediately become rivals. Even though they're on the same team, they become rivals. So the acting, again, is pretty good. Brad Pitt is fine. Javier Bardem is even better, I think. Damson Idris is very, very good as young Joshua Pierce, the black racer. And we watch those three kind of go through the various machinations. It turns out that the Javier Bardem character is not so major, but the other two are very, very major. And again, they have this rivalry, and they're also teammates, and we go see all kinds of little psychological dimensions there. However, the movie itself does not, for me at least, have even a shred of psychological impact. Even when we're in the racing car and we're looking through the windshield along with Sonny or along with Joshua or one of the others, I just never felt that it was real. I always felt that I was just watching something mechanical, something that just had really very little impact on me. Of course, it's fun to watch, and of course, it's kind of like watching, as I said earlier, a video game. But, oh, I just felt no human connection with the characters or with much of anything. So, F1 the movie is one of the big hits of this year, and that's very nice, good for all of them. Fine, fine, fine. It was not a hit for me. If you want to see a movie with a lot of racing cars, a bunch of crashes, a bunch of spectacular stuff, okay, go for it. But again, none of it looked real, and above all, none of it felt real to me. So I found F1 to be a real disappointment. But, you know, hey, if watching racing cars zip around a track and watching an occasional spectacular crash is what you want, then F1, the movie, will be the movie that you want. Now I want to talk about another movie that I really liked. And this couldn't be more different from the earlier two. It's called Bring Her Back. And it was directed by a couple of brothers named Danny Filippo and Michael Filippo. They had done a lot of work, but they've only made one feature film before, a movie just a couple of years ago called Talk to Me, which I didn't think was that great. But Bring Her Back is a really, really good movie, I think, in many ways. Now, it's a horror movie, and it is a horrific horror movie. It has really, as they say sometimes, it delivers on the gore, on the blood, but it also delivers on the suspense, on the twists that you really don't see coming. And it really delivers on something else it really means a lot to me. Very, very good acting, mostly, or I should say, especially by Sally Hawkins, who plays the main character. So what we have here are a couple of very young people, a boy in his late teens. He's going to turn 18 in just about 3 months. Okay. And he has a little sister who's somewhere in her early teens. And they have no family. They have their father who was raising them. The mother's already been dead. The father dies at the very, very beginning of the movie. So that's not a spoiler. So now the two kids are on their own. So Andy, who is the brother who's almost 18, he decides that he really, really, really wants to keep taking care of his little sister. Again, she's in her early teens. And her name is Piper. And that's what he wants. He wants them to live together. He wants to be the parent. He wants to bring her up. However, he's got 3 months to go till he becomes old enough to legally do that. Okay. So this is an Australian film, by the way. So they got 3 months to get through. So they're sent off to a foster home. And this is the home run by a woman named Laura, played by Sally Hawkins. And immediately things start to get weird. Laura has these bizarre videotapes she looks at from time to time, where some sort of what looks like a satanic rite might be going on. Okay, very, very strange, odd stuff. Other things are very, very peculiar in the household. This little boy who lives there, whose name is Oliver, who looks sort of weird and acts very strangely. He never speaks. Apparently, he's never spoken, or maybe he used to speak, but anyway, he never speaks now. So he's also in the household, and things get stranger and stranger and darker and darker as the movie goes along. And that is what Bring Her Back is about. And it all turns out to have something to do with Laura and a little girl of hers who died. And that's where the title Bring Her Back comes from. But very, very strange things are afoot. So why do I think Bring Her Back is the absolute best horror movie that I have seen in a very, very long time? Because it is intense. It is imaginative. It is relentless. And it is not just relentless in the gore. Yes, there's gore a lot, but not all the way through the movie. It has certain moments when the bloodshed really erupts and really horrifying things happen from time to time. And of course, in the middle, things happen that are not so horrifying, but that are very suspenseful. But all of it is filmed with an imagination that never quits. I was really impressed watching this movie. The camera positions, the camera movements, the camera angles, above all, the editing, all of this, the lighting, it's beautifully handled. It's a work of art. It really is. It's a spectacular movie to behold. And on top of that, it has a very suspenseful and very ingenious plot. And the twists just keep on coming, things you didn't expect. And they're not just jump scares. Some of them are jump scares, sure. A good horror movie, I suppose, is going to have some of those. But a lot of it is just building suspense. And again, the actors, especially Sally Hawkins, just pulling this off really, really, really nicely. Really good movie. Billy Barrett is just fine as Andy. Sarah Wong is very good as Piper. I haven't mentioned this yet, but Piper is almost blind. She can see shapes and colors, but she can't see much else. But she's really self-sufficient. She almost never uses her cane because that makes people treat her differently. And that's another reason why her older brother Andy really wants to take care of her, because he just wants to be sure things are done right and they get along so well together. But everything changes when they get into Laura's household and things become really, really bizarre and really, really scary. So I have to say, I think Bring Her Back is not only the best horror movie that I've seen in a very long time, but it is one of the absolute best movies that I have seen in the first half of 2025. I wouldn't be surprised if it were on my 10 best of the year list at the end of the year. It's that good. So Bring Her Back. Go to see it if you like horror movies. It's a really, really strong piece of work, and it's streaming, so you can find it. But look out. As I said earlier, it really delivers on the horrifying horror. So that is my, I hope, not totally horrifying story this week.
For which we thank you as ever and always, David Sterrett, Films in Focus, the films Don't Let's Go to the Dogs Tonight, F1, and Bring Her Back.
Films in Focus with David Sterrett is underwritten by The Movie House, your destination for first-run Hollywood and independent movies, and a digital portal to the Met Opera, National Theater Live, and special events worldwide in Millerton, New York, and on the web, themoviehouse.net.